Hi friends, do you know how important the insect world is? I mean, how much attention do you really pay to an insect? Some pretty interesting questions, right? Some answers I'm sure would be very interesting to hear. It's always great to talk to others who share like-minded thoughts and visions, especially when it comes to the insects. In fact, it's something that brings me great joy. So in this episode of Awaken with Animals, Cindy Nollet of Ruby Vision Empowerment comes to join me as we talk about a unique species of insect, the honeybee. You see, Cindy is an empowerment coach, and she offers services that I feel are heart-centered and focused. So you'll hear us begin by talking about how we first met and how her beloved dog Coco brought us together in a communication session. What a ham, and what a special soul. Coco actually came through from spirit during this episode as well with a message because he's a teacher and he shares a very special message that we can all learn from as his students. Next, we learn about Cindy's journey and how her path has brought her to become a sponsor of a beehive. And a really cool aspect of this is that Cindy isn't just sponsoring a hive, she's actually working with them in communication and in supporting their frequencies so that they may have the right support and magnetic field to do their work, their purpose, and so much more. During this episode, you're going to learn how geomancy through pendulums, copper rods, and water dowsing plays a part in helping these honeybees by working with the Earth's energies, something that they are completely in tune with. You'll even learn more about how this work has helped horses, humans, and so much more. And did you know that bees are actually being trained to detect and find explosives? It is absolutely fascinating. Bottom line, bees are sentient. They have the ability to think and make decisions. And through this all, they play their part by just being who they are. So I've decided to title this part one of two episode, Truth Doesn't Need to Yell, Finding Wisdom Through the Whisper. Because that's how insects have come to me in their communication. They don't yell, they whisper. And through their whisper, their gifts are received. And they're here to make a difference. And for this, I thank them with my heart and my soul. So come learn more about the honeybees, what they do, and the importance of their sentience in our world. Are you ready? I promise that this episode is informative in many ways. Part one of two, let's go. Hi everybody, it's Mary Beth Haynes, and I'm the gal who speaks with animals and the host of the Awaken with Animals podcast. Awaken with Animals is a collection of inspiring channelings from the animals themselves and messages of guidance from them, those that we call our friends. They delve into the heart of the mind, body, spirit, and soul. And along with friends, some old, some new, I'll be having impactful conversations with other like-minded people who share a variety of profound experiences that animals and other sentient beings have brought to their lives. Anything from the journey of healing to the celebrations of life, there's an animal who has a story to tell, a lesson to teach us, and a gift to provide to us all. This podcast promises to bring you uplifting inspiration and divine loving guidance. I'll be calling upon the collective animal energy, animal spirit, and the beings of light to match and join our vibration. I will channel messages of love and hope, as well as help you with your own connection to the animals in your life, in nature, and more. We'll explore all of this with our heart's authenticity and our soul's growth in a space of divine wisdom and love always. So be prepared to be amazed at just how profoundly deep an animal's message can be, why they are here to assist humanity, and to learn just how many blessings they have to share with you. It is my heart's intention that as we awaken with animals, we will activate a deeper and meaningful life. So Cindy, you and I have been talking here for a few minutes now. I've just hit the record button. And where would you like to start? Where do you think would be a good place to start? Maybe it could be kind of like how we got to where we are now, why we're here,
why we're here recording this. I know that I met you a little while ago, and just before when we were talking just a few minutes ago, you actually had the date that we had connected as well. What date was that again?
November 4th, 2020.
2020. So that was almost two years ago.
Yeah.
And so I would love if you could just share a little bit about that, like our connection, how we connected. I would just love to hear it from your side of things, if you're okay with that. And then maybe go into how we've connected here and why we're here today.
Sure. So I'm feeling emotional now thinking of my beloved Coco. So my name is Cindy Nollet and I'm here in Niagara, and you and I are neighbors, but we met through your, however you say, your reputation for communicating with animals. And so I reached out to you to ask you about our little fella here in our home. And we set up a Zoom, and you had helped us so tremendously. We had such ease and grace after you had spoken to us. You gave us really great tips. And so Coco was our pet. And how I found him is about these synchronicities. And how I found you is about these synchronicities. And how our story is getting to how we are now. Like now we're doing something different than you doing a reading for Coco. But you had said that he knows what you're saying. Stop worrying about him. He loves his new life. And I'm really was really happy about that. And we could see the joy because we downsized our home and we live here now where we are. And we have our little streets where we could take him out 3 and 4 times a day. We would take him for a walk.
Oh, amazing.
Amazing. And then we were in the country and it was gravel and there was ticks and coyotes and cold and dark. And so we didn't really do that. And our lifestyle now has slowed. And even after my beloved Coco is gone, my lifestyle has slowed to a point where now I can speak about what we're going to speak about later, the bees and such. So he's so smart. We would go, like I say, 3 and 4 times a day. And he would remember if the first walk he turned right or left or straight or around, he would remember and he would change every day, each one. And then the next day would be something new. And I don't have that capacity to remember what I did that day, plus make a new plan the next day.
Right.
We walk now, my husband and I, we still make a habit of walking and like one time a day now, but we're like, okay, Coco, which way? And so somebody, well, he's not there, but somebody will choose the way.
That's awesome.
He led the way.
Yeah.
So you had said that, you know, he was happy with his life and then he lived day to day, and that he referred to himself as a gentleman, an older gentleman. And just stuff like that. And then how we had a scare and I really thought we were going to lose him early 2020. Like, okay. I thought he was going, and his liver was bad, and you know, and there was no other treatments available. Like, we gave him pain medicine when he had his little episode. But so when we lost him that day, you said he'll tell you, and he did. Like, it was like we were outside for the last few days. I actually stayed outside with him, and we slept outside one night, and he just wanted to be outside. And I didn't want him to be alone, and didn't want him to feel like he had to pass without us. But he went from, you know, having lunch on the grass to that night, he just failed. Like, you could tell he started staggering in his eyes. And it's like, okay, so the girls were home, we're all home. And that was hot because everybody goes off to school, and it was our time to say goodbye to him. We had a wicked thunderstorm that night. Like, the sky was green. And then, you know, with the COVID thing, we did get to see him pass.
Right.
Like in 2020, by this time it was outside, but it was just like, okay, like the heavens are opening up for this boy, and off he goes. And we were really happy that we were all together. So that was interesting. So thank you so much for that. That really is a gift.
Thank you for the gift of being able to share in communication with him. Like, just when you were sharing this now, I feel, if I remember correctly, because actually, you know what? It's so funny because he's here with us. May I share?
Yes, I can feel it.
Okay, he's here with us. And when I said, if I remember correctly, he piped in from my left side. So he's coming. He's like here. So he's piped in from my left side. He's like, don't go on memory. He says, connect in with me. Because I feel him as like blonde or tanned color. Can you confirm with me if that's
absolutely.
Okay.
Change color. Depending on the season.
Perfect. And the reason why I'm just wanting that confirmation is because there's so many animals that I've communicated with. I remember we communicated with him, but sometimes I don't remember all the specifics because there's so many animals that it kind of seems like they're all right. But with here, and I'm like, if I remember correctly, he's like, no, tap into me because I'm here. Right. So he's a teacher from spirit. It's so cool. And he's helping to teach and guide you and your husband. So as you guys, you said you're walking, and when you walk, it's kind of like, Coco, which way are we going? You are actually picking up on his guidance on doing this. And he's sharing here that there's more to it than just that. So he's giving me the feeling like it's kind of fun and a great way to kind of connect in with him and kind of honor him. And, you know, which way are we going now, Coco, kind of thing. He's saying there's more to it though. He's bringing in that guidance of trust. The trust that in the choices that you're making in life and in the choices that you have on a day-to-day basis, and to trust that inner guidance, right? Because that inner guidance will bring you forward. So when you're out there walking and saying, Coco, what time, you know, which way are we going? And then one of you chooses the direction that you're going to go, you are actually tapping into his energy. And then he's helping you learn that trust piece as you move forward, if that makes sense to you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And he's just like glowing, like just so glowing, like that beautiful golden color, or, you know, kind of right now it feels like much more golden because it feels like there's this glow around him. And so thank you for being here, Coco. And just thank you for this honor of, you know, being able to connect in with him when we did at that time. And then to be able to be with him as he comes forward in spirit form now. Again, he's like right here. So on the video, you're going to see me with my hand up, and on the audio, on the podcast, what I'm doing is it's kind of like, take my left side of my head, go to the left by my eye, and just go up a bit. And that's kind of where I feel his energy the closest. So thank you for being here, Coco. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. And thank you for sharing all of that. It's really nice to hear, you know, the journey and how everything was able to come into play, and how you knew and how he let you know and all of that. So
and he ended our session that time, is like, because you said, he says he's hungry and it's snack time, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's snack. Yeah. It was around 12 o'clock, and he's like, yeah, okay, all right, awesome. And we closed that session.
Snack. That's funny. That is so funny. I love it. So we connected again, and you had a question. I remember you had asked a question, and I really found that is such an important question, because a lot of times we don't understand. And so instead of me still talking about this without knowing what that question is, do you want to?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So my journey, so it started out, you know, I identified for 35 years as a hairdresser, and now I'm taking the journey. I retired around the COVID time because my husband and everybody was working in the house. So now when I write my bio, I really have grouped all of the things that I'm doing now, with the exception of the hairdressing, because I have a whole list of things. So I do, because of faith, and because I said yes to spirit, and because I had a need to fulfill for someone, the geomancy is like feng shui, where you know that there's energies flowing and that you move furniture around to enhance it. But the geomancy is using the copper rods and like the water dowsing, and there's different tools for that. Mine are the two rods. And in that, I'm finding the earth energies that are kind of going into the home. And as soon as you carve the concrete into the ground, you're now boxing all of those energies that would have been going. And so the house is full. So instead of moving the bed, which they can, I mean, I want them to be empowered to do whatever, but you're kind of guessing because you don't know if there's another water line. So right. The work is done with the copper rods, like earth acupuncture. And there's certain ethics involved with this, where you're just working with the client and the house. And there's times where you're going down the property line and you're like, oh, there's something over there, but you don't, because it's not your business. And so I've had some amazing, amazing stories with that. And so I just wanted to fast forward to the bees because I do have two questions for that. But it's the communication that I really feel that dowsing helps you with that. And it's only a tool. It's not who you are. So as soon as you can form questions, and in order to have the pendulum respond, in my case, it's kind of like, no, I need more information, or it's not clear enough. So it'll wait for you to reform your communication with yourself to a point where you could probably have answered your own question. Now that you've clarified it so much in your own mind, you could probably answer your own question, but then you're doing the dowsing. So yes, no, yes, no, more information, what have you. So I really, really emphasize the holding the space for people to have their self-communication. And two people are in session and somebody says something, then they have to formulate it enough where I could understand. And in doing so, they pull out such a truth that's when the hairs stand up.
Right.
Finding the soul truth, all of a sudden hairs, you know, things tingle, and then that's reaching into the etheric field of soul. So you're saying that's truth, and that's proof, and I'm the witness, and they're the witness, and that whole thing of now you're communicating with spirit. So now fine-tune your communication with spirit. And so there's other things like, you know, when you hear the ear in the ear and this or that. So then people pick up a dime. And so then you can say, all right, if I pick up a dime, then this is maybe one passed over member. If I see a butterfly, then this is another. And so you can set a communication, and sometimes they may tune it for you, but the other side wants to say, okay, yeah, let's communicate. So when you say, you know, that when this happens, and show me proof. If I meant to go down this, you know, fork in the road, then show me something. And then you look for a symbol. And if it shows up, and sometimes it's like three, right? And you're like, oh, okay, do it. There's three now. So then when I was working with the water, and I work with structured water, and I'm an advocate for having the water that is alive and well.
I love that. I love that.
So have we talked about that with the water?
We haven't, but when I learned that you work with structured water and the work that you do with it, I was just like, bing, 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 because my husband and I are very much into that as well. And so we do work with structured water, but I believe we do it in a bit. It brings us to kind of around the same of what we're doing, but I believe that what you do, I would love to learn more about.
Well, there's so many. If you have your way, go for it, do it, do it your own way. So it's Victor Schoberger back in like the early, mid 1940s, where he was a forestry person and he was just working in the forest, and he was like almost like Da Vinci, where you would just really study nature. So he was studying how, the salmon go up and how can they defy gravity, and it's the temperature. I think it's like 39 degrees when water is at temperature. Then now it's this whole other, tensor field and that kind of thing. And then how he was putting logs, and how he's famous for shooting logs with logs that should have not been floating so well. He knew how to maneuver all this water, and he made a device, and Austria is amazingly still alive with all that. So the unit that we have came from Austria, and it's handcrafted and has, the golden mean, and it has like filaments of gold, and it has crystals inside. So it's mineralizing. And so really what it's doing is taking the city water and smashing the molecule upon itself so it implodes. And once that molecule implodes, it is back to the original form. Boom.
Wow.
However you do that, it doesn't matter. As long as you can smash the molecule where it can let go all of the information, all of the medicines that are going down our drains and we've been recycled, and anything that sits too long or anything that goes through a pipe 300 feet long, then that water is now dead,
It's just right.
So then have we ever had that phenomenon where we're drinking from a bottle of water and we can take metals?
Yeah.
So water's first mandate is to fulfill itself with minerals. So it's going through the river and it's collecting all these minerals. And if we've taken that away with water treatments and such, then it's left empty and it's starving water, and the molecule will find the minerals in our mouth. Like it'll find molecules. So then we become the river. So those
treatments
that say, like the reverse osmosis, but that's okay if you replace them, and sure, but that's so much harder than ever to replace them and to be responsible for taking your minerals and to have not just a synthetic version of something, but you know, this, if you have a spring, apparently in Midland, we have a beautiful underground spring. It's supposed to be one of the Midland area. I'll have to look for that. Can't get there for water, but so the structure of water. So yeah. Those are the things that brought me to here and now with the bees.
Right.
So for some reason, I do a lot of writing and receiving, and I have papers everywhere and I don't do anything, but synchronicities happen. And I had been going online saying, like, does anybody, without saying that I do it or I'm the expert or anything, does anybody put hives over underground water and then like crickets, right? Nobody wants to say anything. And sometimes I belong to a lot of bee groups, and sometimes somebody will say something and then they get kind of like shunned, and you know, that whole keyboard warrior thing.
Right.
I'll go on the back channel, I'll ask questions, and we'll have this conversation together. So there's people that do that. Like, I'm in conversation with a man from the UK, and he places his hives over water, and he instinctively knows. He doesn't douse per se, but that helps with the frequency. And when we go into the forest and we do that, you know, the tree bathing, and the tree is bringing up the water, it's bringing up its own magnetic field. And when we place ourselves in front of that magnetic field, then we can exchange that. So my philosophy, and hopefully working out a certain protocol, placing these hives on the water or even in the ground. So I'm working this fall with a farmer. We're going to actually start planting some posts in the ground to actually bring up the water so that there's even more of a magnetic field acting like, sorry, that's loud, acting like the water coming up the post or the tree. And so my question to you was, because I am working in this, I have two of them. Who do I communicate with when I want to talk to the bees? And so you said something so cute. I would speak to a spokes bee. Queen bee. And I'm like, the spokes bee, yes, I want to speak to the boots on the ground. I want to know the little worker bees what they're doing. And of course, queen bee can pipe in too, but the spokes bee. So I wanted to ask you, what would the spokes bee say? And then we got to talking, and you said, hey, I would really like, you know, to bring in a message for you. I'm like, oh my god, yes, they need you, we all need you. So it, like, was a big fat yes, and here we are.
And I love how the synchronicity comes forward in this way, because when I started the Awaken with Animals podcast, I started it in December of 2020. So in December of this year, it's going to be 2 years old. And at the time when I started it, I was receiving that inspired nudge to say, you know, connect in with others as well who have great experiences to share in this area. But as I was continuing on in that first year of the podcast, that didn't happen yet. And I'm like, okay, where is this going? And, you know, of course, my head gets involved, because I've been known to have my head get involved from time to time. And I just kept, you know, it's just like, just trust the journey, trust the journey. And so as I was continuing forward, then all of a sudden in 2022, this is where I'm getting these nudges of, you know, let's go further with this. Let's go further with this. And then I feel like the podcast is part of it. And then I get this in and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, and it just all falls into place. And so when you ask that question, and then we kind of shared and chatted a little bit about that afterwards, I'm like, okay, it's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. And I keep getting that nudge. So it's like, yeah, you know what, this is that episode. So here we go. I wanted to ask you, Cindy, if you can just share, just before we get into that part, so placing the hives over top of the water, having that change the frequency, what would that direct impact be to that hive, right? Because the water is changing the frequency, it's bringing forward the different vibrations and all of that. So would it be make sense to say it would improve the communication of the hive, it would improve the health of the hive, it would improve, like, what would be some of the benefits of that?
Well, it's a working model. I approached a farmer with a business model, and I had offered a couple of things. I had said, I will step in. I will help you move your hives, maybe even the not well hives, place them on water, and I will supply your hives with structured water. So there's two things. So actually, structured water is actually hexagonal in nature. So it matches with the honeycomb. And then we go one step further. When they're compound hives, they're hexagonal. They seed in hexagons. So that's so cool. Right. So there's this layers and layers and layers. So without really knowing, and I said to him, this is volunteer at this time, because even though I'm a professional in the other, I've never worked with bees. And my theory goes back to, I've worked with people. We're not supposed to be over water very, very long in our office or in our bed, because that frequency is not conducive to rest and rejuvenation. And so the body, you never get sleep, never gets that, you know, those times that we can repair in our sleep. I've done work in a horse barn, and that was amazing. Like, amazing. Horses do not like to be over top of that, in that frequency either. So if they were in nature, they wouldn't stay there. So in their stall, they'll show signs like they would crib, they would sway, they would be stressed. And I had done some work, and physically there was one pony who was just so stressed. Like, his eyes were so big, you could see all the way around his pupil, and he was stressed. Right. And then when I was doing my application, I was walking around, and then I put the copper rods outside the barn, because they too have the concrete inside the ground. So they're also subject to that container. When we were nomads and moving around, we never had to worry about that. And then you add all of the electricity and the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth. And then it's like all of this ricocheting inside these buildings. And even, you know, when we go near the bees, I put my phone on airplane mode, because I don't want to be that receiver, you know. Yeah. Like, now I'm like bringing it right here. So the horses, so I was walking around, and my children at the time, children, were doing the lessons, and I thought, oh, if I can help make the horses happier, then mommy will be happy, because this whole riding in the ring, I don't know how they didn't smash. And you know, when they go to a show and there's all these horses and people trying to warm up, I'm like, I don't know how you guys do that. That's way beyond me. So this one horse was coming around behind me, and it was like nuzzling me. And I had never been alone with a horse. It was golden, golden Palomino horse, beautiful, sniffing my pony. And I'm like, well, first of all, it was in my rods. And I had to like push the muzzle away so that it didn't interfere with my rods. And right. Then it would follow along behind me. And I'm like, that's euphoric. That is utopia right there. And I went home and I said, I would quit my job and do that for a living. That felt so wonderful. And so then doing my little thing, and it was in the sand arena, and he had some time in the sand arena. And there's other ponies and horses that had some time outside. Well, one of the ponies jumped into the barn, into the sand ring, over this really high jump into, you're going to think I'm bat poop crazy, all the way over, and honestly, right to where I just buried my last copper rod.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, now there's another animal in here. I'm like, oh, and I said to the barn owner, there's another pony in here. She comes in. She goes, fat, lazy Dallas jumped into the barn out of like a sunshiny day.
Oh.
And so that was one of the things. And then, fast forward to that pony with the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I'm not the horse person. I don't know whose horse or whose pony or how long they've been there or anything. But I'm like, oh, we got, who's the new pony? And the girl goes, Mom, that's Olroy. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, that was the pony. He had the softest lid.
Oh.
It was soft and supple. And he was in his little stall, and he was just so, so soft. You could see he was so relaxed.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So yeah, this is something, keep going, whatever pace you have. So in those applications, like, I can't deny that. Even Cindy can't deny some of that. Like, it's just too obvious.
Yes.
Stories or mean something to someone, even though it might be a little abstract, but the whole idea that nature, and then I did people. And then my first application was this little boy who had asthma, and the actual mom was a nurse, and he was on asthma medicine. And along the property line, there was a really big gap in the hedge, and that water was roaring through there. And that particular hedge breed didn't like water, although, you know, pine trees do, holly loves it, you know, those kind of things like that. Went all the way across the house into that, right under the crib of this baby. And I was able to help with that. The report back right away was the baby was feeling really well off all of his asthma medicine.
Wow.
That baby's 16 years old now, still didn't have any lung or anything with all the COVID and all the, you know, whatever medicines or whatever, and 16 years old still happening. So nature will help you see things if you want to see it yourself. So now with the bees, I thought I was trying to get the idea, trying to find some bee experts, like, is this a thing? Do they like that? I feel like they do, because when they're in a cave, you know, nature, in a cave, in the rock and the water, there's always some kind of water source. There's always a tree. And when they swarm, they always go to a tree. And while I was doing my business presentation, one guy's like, is that why the bees are always going to the tree? We were just, two of them were chatting. We were just asking about that. And then, of course, I'm not an expert. I'm like, well, we'll see. And then there's the times where they swarm and they go to a fence post, but not the next fence post or not the next fence post.
Right. My
theory is, because I really haven't been on the ground for that, is that's where the underground water is. And my other hope and prayer is that the mites, those Vero destructor mites that we're all talking about, they're soon killing all these hives. My prayer is that they don't like that frequency and that they won't spend time there. We can prove that. We have lots of other things that we're going to put into play. So starting at the end of October and November, when they're easier to move a hive, that's when we're going to do a lot more work. We moved our first hives in May, and that wasn't the actual greatest time to move, but that is something that we were doing with that. So it's a philosophy and a theory that we're hoping to make, you know, a working model and to actually help replicate it for other people too.
How magnificent. How magnificent. This is amazing. This is amazing. My heart center has, like, whenever my heart center expands, it's like, it's always expanding around truth. It's always expanding around it's kind of like the clarity of truth, the right direction, the forward movement, expansion, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so as you were sharing that, this is just magnificent. I am so intrigued by this. And thank you for doing this work with them.
It's thrilling.
Yeah.
And before you ask your questions, there are two of you that have my spokesbee. I feel like the bees are demonstrating for us, you know, a working model. Like, they've been around for millions of years.
That's right.
They know how to care and they know how to do their roles. And they know how to switch roles when something happens and they need to step in. They have these special abilities, like, you know, we wonder how they can fly and actually how they're hovering and levitating. And then how they're manipulating this plastic wax and turning it into sacred geometry. Waiting for insight for us.
Yes.
To somehow, we're like mesmerized over it. And so the whole idea that they are trying to hold the space, that there is something better for that. And so we can spend a little time with that hope. But then we have the nefarious kind of thing where people are trying to say hive mind. We want you to live in smart cities. We want you to be, you know, here. We're going to put trains and so I'll put all the people here. Like, they're trying to do that in Australia, I think, mostly. And that moving people away from their rural area, putting them in, we're going to do hive minds and this whole thing. And they're making it so that they want us just to think one way. So there's beautiful things. There's a book that book that I can't really get through because it's really heavy, one page at a time, and I'm trying to write notes. They have the mind of the bee, and in this book, and there's other things too. They're saying that they're unique. They have their own thoughts. They just blend together to work as a whole, but they do have their own personalities. And so even there's an article that I read about the customs borders. Training bees to find explosives. So they can be trained.
Wow. Yes. You know, yes.
Yes. Or they're showing us that they can respond to a certain task. So this whole thing of the hives and such, and then in this book, they were talking about, they were doing research where they were putting a hive somewhere and they were trying to see how the bees use their frequency, their sight spectrum is so much different than us. And this is all about how we see things and how we can see outside of our spectrum, just with ideas like what we're talking about now. You know, if there's not mainstream, but if we can just kind of see outside that spectrum, there's stuff happening over there. There's radio waves, there's all kinds of things happening. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. We just need to tune into that information and use it.
Exactly.
So this bee, when it was being moved with the box, this one particular little fella decided that he would get a free ride. And when he saw this box, he would jump into the box for free, like, because he wasn't being harmed. And then when they opened up the box, he would take his way. It was like a public transit.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Huge. He was saving his energy and he was using that that the people were carrying the box for him. So this is, come on, this is too much for us. So we have the roles. They have the foragers. They have the nurse bees. They have, you know, all of these roles, and they do switch in, and they're showing us in grace. And the whole idea, and I would really like to put this in, the hope that if they're manipulating this plastic wax and making something out of it in the sacred geometry, they're working with nature. They haven't fallen from grace. They can still manage that. And so I connect the wax with the neuroplasticity. So if they're able to manipulate this plastic wax into this honeycomb, just using frequency and whatever heat and whatever elements they have, we have this neuroplasticity inside our brain. And once we exercise that and we can warm it up and give it thought, then it's going to start thinking differently. And we need to think individually, not just what's coming at us through the TV screen. And so we don't want just the one thought. We don't want the hive mind. We want to work together, but be individual at the same time. And don't make that negative. Make it positive, because they're there to show us.
That's right. I don't think you could have said that any better. I just, that's beautiful. It just rings so true to my heart. And, you know, there's so much that's going on, and we're in a massive time of change and transition. And I know, I mean, go back 10 years ago, we'd probably say the same thing, but there's a different energy. There's a newer energy that's coming forward, and there's so much that's happening. And bees are sentient. They have the ability to make decisions. They have abilities to feel, to do things, to, you know, get free rides on the boxes, you know, and things like that. Like, it's not just, like, there's so much more. There's a bigger picture here. And I know that when we think about insects, like, how many people do you know that are afraid of bees because they don't want to get stung, right? Or things like that. And I remember insects coming to me. It was kind of like the collective energy of insects. And I remember they came to me about probably 3 to 4 years ago. And I remember them saying that they were talking really quiet. Like, I could hear them, like they were almost whispering, right? And they said, we are talking really quiet, but that doesn't mean that we're not here for a reason. Because when we think about communicating with, you know, interspecies beings and things like that, we may think about the nature, the plants, the trees, the, you know, and then when we think about animals and we think about, you know, cats, dogs, horses, you know, all the animals or that type of thing. And then all of a sudden, how many, though, it's kind of like brought it forward, like, how many times do we think about the ants or the bees or the grasshoppers or, you know, the different kinds of insects that are out there and their purpose and what they do? And so I really love how we can bring bee energy into today and our time together, and to be able to connect with them and get their perspective on things, and to really be able to connect in on that vibration. Because I guess what I'm wanting to say is how important the insect world is. And how much, I mean, we grow up and, you know, we are taught things about certain things, but a lot of times the insect world is often misunderstood or not really paid too much attention to, you know, there's just so much more. And I keep hearing there's a bigger picture. So I love how this episode can bring awareness to that, to the insect world.
I love that. And I love the whisper. And I love that truth doesn't have to yell. Like when we're finding things that are kind of like shoved at us, you know, certain TV programs or in the news, and it's like, you know, high voice yelling and such. And like, truth doesn't have to yell, like it whispers and it deserves that respect too. And that's usually like the quiet of the inside. So we don't want to find the truth outside in the yelling. We want to find the truth on the inside of the whispering. And I love that. And I think that you were so right about what's happening. And I really feel like it's kind of like the colony collapse. So the fear of the bees and the bee farmers are these colony collapses.
Right.
So I think that they're demonstrating to us what's happening in the humanity. There is a colony collapse. And I feel that is a perfect picture of a certain amount of what's okay as far as, you know, the Spain and everybody like conquering all different ethnic group and all those beautiful colors of all those people's, you know, lineage and such, and painting everything white and making everything be about whatever, you know, just this is what it is. You have to live like this, work like this, and that kind of thing. And I think the bees are demonstrating to us that this is happening, and we can use them as a working model because they haven't changed for millions of years.
That's right.
The bees. So they're doing the work and they're just like building their honeycombs thinking, oh my God, you guys think this is so hard. How about you just start using the laws of nature? How about you just start going in your own thing so you don't have the colony collapse like you think you're going to? So when I'm working with partnership with the bees, I want to make sure that, you know, they're not getting sprayed when they shouldn't be sprayed and all those kinds of things. But they're really there to show us people like there is a big change. You have to start thinking as an individual and don't just jump on, you know, the crazy train of like, we're at the end of things. If we're at the end of things, we know that there's a beginning. So let us create, use the arts, be in nature, go through the school system, but also keep yourself going in a certain thrill. And when they say find your bliss and, you know, create whatever you want, they're trying to keep that side of your brain. And I'm not sure what side of the brain it is, but so I was at the hive. I actually did sponsor a hive, and they have this thing called Bee City now. And for someone like me who would really, truly, my brain could not manage everything that it takes to keep a colony alive. Like it's beyond what I thought before and beyond. But what they have to see and read and help these bees out with, you know, is amazing. So
wow.
I was there, and then this bee came. This farmer allowed me to place my hive over water.
Beautiful.
So, yeah. Together. So not only was our working project over here, but my sponsored hive. And I found a little bit more than just underground water. I found like a song line. You know, there's
a wit line?
Song line. Like it's
song line?
Song line. So there's
okay.
Certain lines underneath the ground that
right.
Flows, right?
And oh, so I'm finding
it. And then all of a sudden the bee came right at me. And then a couple more behind. And then I just put my rods down and walked away slowly. But in the meantime, it chased me and it got in my hair. And the farmer had just left to put his dog away. You're supposed to move slowly in the hives, right? And I'm like moving away, and I can hear this high pitch. And I'm like, where is it? They want to hurt you. Where is it? And I'm like saying to myself, don't sting me. I want the message, but I don't want the sting. I'm listening, but I don't want to be stung. And then all of a sudden, it's in my hair. I have to take out my ponytail. And I'm upside down with all this hair everywhere, trying to get
right.
It comes out, but I don't know what that right side meant. But then the farmer comes back and I'm just coming up with all this hair. I'm like, oh, there was a bee stuck in my hair. You know, hi, I'm Cindy. I'm like one of the people that you just wish you could avoid. And here we are. We're in a project together. So I don't know what that meant, but on the right side of the brain, but
right.
Saved without harm. And I blushed and, you know, the whole thing. And so then I found the place where it was. And so that was just another side note of like, what are they trying to tell us?
What are they trying to say? Yeah.
High pitch. I can just hear it. That was yelling at me. That was no whisper.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And to get, you know, caught in your hair and to, you know, the more that it would, the more that bee would be, the more that bee would be in there and then buzzing and everything. And yeah, and it's close to your ear. And yeah, exactly.
And like this whole thing was lit up with this high hitch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was getting scolded or something. I don't know. But I was.
Would you like to find out?
Oh, yes.
So was this bee from your hive or was this bee from another hive?
It was in just in the field because the hive hadn't been made yet.
Got it. Okay. So I'm just going to make a note here. One second. So, okay. That way I have it here and we can see what comes forward with that. Anything else you want to say before we get into talking with the bees? I love this conversation. I'm just having such an amazing time. Learning so much as well.
Just to apply how bees are surviving. Yes, they're passing away and such, but whatever they're doing for themselves and for the next generations. And we know that our indigenous, they don't make decisions unless it will be beneficial for seven generations in the future. Seven generations, not seven decades. Mm-hmm. So we need to start thinking like that. So I really hope that people just what if, be creative, be playful. Like there's signs for everyone, and
absolutely
just find a way for you, the three thing, the song thing, the number thing, all those things, and find out that people do angel cards, which is whatever that number means, that you can look into it. And it doesn't mean that you are, delving into the arts of the dark, and if you ever do something that seems like uncomfortable for you, then pivot, just try something else. Like, don't shame yourself for doing something that's outside of the box. And I really like that, in this time of the 2020, that we could be away from those voices that may have been the ones to say, well, you can't do that, because there's nobody there to tell you. So that whole incubation period of the 2020, so that we can just hear our own voice, was pretty special. And so now all of a sudden everybody's blossoming, and I think there's a lot of things happening. And then I really do think it has to do with systems, and like the queen passing and those kinds of things. I feel like, okay, what do we want now? Do we want that much control from one certain sector, or would we like to bring back in all everybody and everybody work in harmony together, and keep our own roots?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my message. Just have fun,
and if have fun,
not for you, change direction.
And it's becoming, I really feel like a lot of that is starting to become comfortable with who we are. Mm-hmm. Right, because a lot of times we will look externally for who we are and who other people think of us as, right? And we want to make sure that we, at least I'll just speak on my behalf. I don't want to speak on everybody's behalf, because not everybody might feel this way. But I always found that whenever there was something inside me that was uncomfortable, I would look externally to find somebody who could help me so that I could feel better about that part. And now I've come to realize that if something's coming up within me, that's an opportunity for me to be able to become comfortable with whatever that truth is for me, right? So that truth could be a certain way for me, and you might have that, carry that same truth, but have it be a different truth for you, but there's still truth.
For sure.
Do you understand what I mean? And so instead of trying to have somebody else try and tell us that, yes, that is your truth, or yes, not to say that there aren't people out there that can help us find that, mm-hmm. right? There are other people externally. There are other tools and things that we can use externally. What I'm saying here is, whenever we have an opportunity to grow within and start to learn to trust ourselves instead of what the media is telling us we need to do, say, or be, the different things that are happening, sometimes we need somebody to help us find that way. But without telling us, they allow us to find that. And I think that, just kind of tying into what you were saying, it's like really coming into who we are and trusting us. We are souls having a human experience, mm-hmm. right? And there is so much guidance and divinity that is available for us to be able to connect in with, because that's who we are.
Through our higher self, not through
exactly.
an external person.
Exactly.
If you reach into that too much, then, now they're depending on that. And I don't want to be that person to always have the answers because I have my own agenda and my own view on things. And it might be a flavor of what they need to hear, but it's not always what they need to hear. And it's their job to communicate with themselves. That's fine.
Yeah. And it's just so beautiful. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard work sometimes, depending on what it is. But you know what? It's worth it. And to have that guidance.
When your heart expands, that, you know, just that when a person can expand, and then when something's bothering them, you know, pull your energy back in and just be with it for a little while. Don't give it up, but just, you know, let your energy field be that support for you.
Yeah, exactly. And then just one more bit to that too, is that it doesn't have to be hard. I know I said sometimes it's hard. It doesn't have to be hard, because sometimes we think it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we're like, you know what? That wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. It's that darn anticipation that we humans do sometimes. Or at least when I say we humans, I'm pointing to myself.
We're in our own way, I think.
Yeah. Oh, this is wonderful.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode so far, as Cindy and I spoke about some really interesting concepts when it comes to the honeybee and the tidbits and the nuggets for our own personal growth and guidance. Please join us on the next episode, where we're going to continue this discussion and get right into direct conversation with the hive. I never know how a communication session will go, and I found this one to be especially interesting. And the specific honeybees who came to be the, quote, spokesbees was quite an awesome experience as well. So come with me, move forward to episode 42, and continue listening to what the honeybees have to say. I'll see you there.